In the beginning was the Word. Those are some of the most reassuring words in all of Scripture, that in the beginning was the Word. That before all else was, the Word was. You know, life gets difficult sometimes, and for us here at Hillview this past week has been pretty rough. We've had several people pass away and go home to be with the Lord. We've had several people hospitalized. We've had several people dealing with some real struggles. And so in the midst of life, everything kind of gets crazy and life happens. But yet we have this anchor for our souls that in the beginning was the Word. For most of us, though, we just got to know. How many of you just want to know what tomorrow's going to bring? Anybody? How many of you have ever prayed that prayer, Lord, if you would just tell me what my life's going to be like in 10 years, then I'd be okay. I remember a year ago going to a basketball game, a little upward basketball game, to watch my nephew play basketball poorly. But it wasn't just him who was playing poorly. It was all of the kids. You know, they're young. And one of the boys that he played with, I grew up under the teaching of his grandmother. His grandmother taught me Sunday school and led my elementary group and led my youth group. And man, I loved this woman. I worked with her at Mr. Gaddy's and I loved this woman. And so it was great to go every time and to get to sit and share with her and her daughter, the kid's mother, who was my friend all through growing up and get to have those moments. But one day we were walking into the gym from the car and she stopped me, the grandmother. And she said, you know, I had some cancer about 20 years ago. Well, I've gone to the doctor and they found some spots. And so they're going to check them out. And you know, I mean, it's not an uncommon thing to find spots. It's not an uncommon thing to have to go through some testing. It's an awful thing. I don't know why it takes 2 weeks to process results. I want to figure out how to pay them and get them immediately. You know, if I slip you $100, will you bring them right back? But she said, I've got these tests, I'm going through these tests. And we prayed and just, God, you know, we just asked that you would take care of this. Well, eventually the test results came back and sure enough, her cancer had come back. That was a year ago. On Monday night at 9:30 p.m., she slipped from the surface of this earth and entered the presence of Christ. And she's at home with him now, but there's a family that's left behind that's hurting because they miss their grandma and their mama, and many of us miss our friend and for the person who for many of us was a great mentor in our lives. And I drove by that gym the other day and I remembered that moment as I was driving by and I thought, boy, if we had only known that day that a year from then would be her last day, what would we have done differently? We all want to know. We all want to know, how's this situation going to work out? How's this job situation? How's this health situation? How are my kids going to turn out? We all want to know. And we go to great lengths to get that information. The sermon tonight will be very brief and highly offensive. So go ahead and prepare yourself. I'm going to offend you. All right? You ready? Here's how I know we all want to know. Last week, you would have thought major news had broken out all over the country. Because I got on my Facebook account, and you know what everybody was talking about? I got on my Twitter account, and you know what everybody was tweeting about? Sheriff, you don't tweet, do you? No, I tweet. You know what everybody's tweeting about? Oh, the calendar has changed, and the horoscopes are different, and you're a different thing now. And so I'm surfing through, and I'm going through the news feed, and it's just, you know, the calendar has changed. I'm now a Capricorn, or I'm now a Scorpio, or I'm now whatever it is. And what is the purpose of a horoscope? Well, the horoscope is to give us some picture into tomorrow, some picture into how the day is going to be. And people who love Jesus with all their heart have clicked every day, my daily horoscope reading. You know what? According to the calendar, I'm a Scorpio. But according to Jesus, I'm a Christian. And so I'm not a Scorpio anymore. My job is not to try to figure out what tomorrow will bring. My job is to trust Jesus with tomorrow. And so I know all you know, Facebook, yeah. My job is not to use some type of calendar that was a pagan calendar that was used for divination to try to figure out what my life will be. My job is to put my life into the hands of the one who holds my life into eternity, and to trust Him no matter what the day may bring. You know, and then I'm on Facebook a little bit more, and I start reading all these, on this day, God wants you to know. Great. And I got to reading through some of them, and some of them were incredible. And on some of them, it should have been, on this day, Buddha wants you to know, because it could have come straight from the Lotus Sutra of Buddhist teaching, what they wrote. I know, I'm sorry, I'm a sub. Come back next week, I won't be here. All right? But yeah, we want to know. We want to feel good about what tomorrow brings, and we want to feel good about what tomorrow says, and we want to feel good about what tomorrow is going to be in our lives, but the reality is that God has spoken. That in the very beginning, when the earth was formless and void and darkness covered the face of the deep, God was there. God is the one who had no creation. He always has been. He just is. He is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. He is God. And through Jesus Christ, our lives are planted firmly in His hand. And so tonight I want us to look very briefly at John chapter 1. So if you've got your Bible, flip open to John chapter 1. You just heard it read on TV in a British accent. I can't do that. But let me hear the word of God. The Bible says, the Apostle John writes, as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit, that in the beginning was the Word. Well, there's a parallel passage to this, back at the beginning of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the same beginning was the Word. That the Word of God was there in the beginning. The Word of God was there while the earth was formless and void and darkness covered the face of the deep. The Word of the Lord was there when there was nothing. The Word of the Lord was there when all that existed was just God. The Word of the Lord was there. And the Bible says that God created all this by doing what? How did He create the world? He spoke it. He used His word to create. He spoke and there was light. He spoke and there was continents. He spoke and there was a sky and an ocean. He spoke and all these things came to be. He spoke you and I into existence. By His word were the heavens created, declares Psalm 33 and verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens created, and God spoke. In the beginning was the Word. The Word of God was there. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Who is this Word that it speaks of? Is it the Bible? That's what I thought. Word of God. Everybody says Word of God. That means the Bible, right? No. The Word that the Apostle John is writing about as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit is the eternal Logos, the eternal Word and wisdom of God. The Word that he is writing about is Jesus. Because in verse 14 on down the line it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Who is the Word of God? It is Jesus. The Bible says that by Him and through Him and for Him, all things were made. And nothing has been made that wasn't made by Him, through Him, and for Him. Did you know that were it not for Jesus, the heart that beats within your chest would not beat again? Did you know that were it not for Jesus, the lungs that fill with air to get oxygen to your body would not inhale again? Did you know that were it not for Jesus actively moving in our world, the foundations that hold this building together would crumble? It is God who holds all things together. All things. And He was there in the beginning. And He was with God. And He was God. And He became flesh. And He dwelt among us. And we saw His glory. In the original language, this is very provocative wording that the Apostle John has used. When he says that the Word, Jesus, was with God, he is implying through his use of the original words in the Greek that they had a face-to-face relationship, that it is God the Father and God the Son, and they are right there with each other. It's not as if one is over the other, but they are equal, that they are God, each one fully God. And John says that this word, Jesus, was God. And that he was there in the beginning. Guys, tonight, I want to beg you to do some things. First, I want to beg you to give your life to Jesus. So many of us entrust our lives to things that have no power, that have no glory, that have no way of shaping our lives. We entrust our lives to drugs. We entrust our lives to alcohol. We entrust our lives to another human being in a relationship. And ultimately, all those things fail. But there is one who will never fail, and his name is Jesus. And so I want to beg you tonight to give your life to Jesus. And the second thing I want to beg you to do tonight, I want to beg you to get into his word. I want to beg you to get into his word. I want to beg you to read the Bible at home. When we have the altar here in a minute, at that communion table and that communion table that you see on the leg of it, there's Bibles stacked up. I want you to come and get one. If you don't have one, come and get one. If you do have one, make sure that people who don't have one have a chance to get one. And then you come up and get one and you take it with you. And if you have a Bible, I want you to take that Bible and give it to somebody who doesn't. You say, well, what if they're not a Christian? Give it to them anyway and tell them that in its pages are the words of life. You see, the glory of the written word is that it points us to the living word. The glory of the written word of God is that it points us to the living word of God, Jesus. All throughout, from Genesis to Revelation, the darling of Scripture is Jesus. And so tonight, I don't want any Bibles left here. None. Okay? If there are any Bibles left, Jamie's going to put you all in detention next week. All right? That means you have to stay and listen to him preach an extra hour. All right? Okay. Take a Bible tonight. If you have one, if you don't, get one tonight. Read it every day. Why? Is it going to predict my future? Is it the perfect replacement for my horoscope that now I know is probably not the best thing to do? No. But you know what it's going to do? It's going to introduce you and call you to the one who was there in the beginning. The one who, if you will give your life to him, will lead you through every day. The one who, if you will give your life to him, will take you through every joyous moment and every hard moment. The one who, if you will give your life to him, will utterly transform your life. Now, in this pages, it's not going to predict your personal future. It's not going to tell you whether you're going to get that job. It's not going to tell you whether it'll be a good day to update your listing on the single site online. It's not going to tell you those things. But what it's going to call you to do is to daily place your life in the hands of the one whose body is broken, whose blood has been shed for you. Tonight the message is short. The message is offensive. I get it. It's okay. You can be mad at me. But I pray that you would hear from God. Pray that you would hear that his word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. I pray that you would hear from God that his word is breathed out by him, breathed out by God and useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, that the man and woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for all good works. I pray that God's spirit in your heart would create in you a hunger and a thirst for the word of God, a hunger and a thirst for a relationship with God. And ultimately, I pray tonight that if you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that tonight would be the night that you give your life to him. I don't know what tomorrow holds for you. I don't know what tomorrow holds for me. But I know who holds tomorrow, and his name is Jesus. And so tonight, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you must first understand that you are a sinner, that you have broken God's law. He is the one who created you, and so he has the rights to you. And he's called you to live according to his law and his Ten Commandments. The top two are these: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if there's ever been a time in your life when you haven't loved the Lord your God with everything you have, Or if there's ever been a time in your life where you haven't loved your neighbor as yourself, then you're a sinner. And you deserve hell. But God's love for you is so great that He sent His Son, His only Son, Jesus, to come and to take your sin upon Himself and to die on an old rugged cross for you. That He took our punishment on this cross and He paid the full price for our sin. He paid it all. And He died and they buried Him, and on the third day He arose from the grave and He's alive today. And He cries out to us tonight through His Spirit that if you will turn to Him, confess that you've sinned. Lord, I've blown it and I know it. I confess that to you. I've totally trashed your law. I don't deserve to get near you. And so, Lord, I don't want to live that way anymore. But I believe, Jesus, that you died to pay the price for my sin. And I believe that you rose declaring victory over sin and death. And so I ask you to come into my life, to forgive me of my sin. And I receive you as both my Lord and my Savior tonight. That if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I beg you to come tonight and receive Him. But for those of you who do, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar too and to pray. Pray that God would give you a hunger and a thirst for Him like never before. Pray that God would give you such a hunger that you could flip open that Bible, even to the Old Testament genealogies that go on and say that He begat him and he begat him. And that God would speak to your heart even through those. That God would give you such a hunger for Him that you would flee to His Word. And that through the Holy Spirit working as you digest the Word of God, that you would grow to become more like Jesus. Is that cool? Can we do that tonight? So let's stand together. We're going to pray and they're going to sing, but if you need to receive Jesus tonight, come. You say, what happens if I don't receive Jesus? Well, if you die without receiving Jesus, you go to hell. That's what you've earned. And we don't want you to go there. Tonight, if you will repent of your sin and entrust your life to Christ, Jesus will receive you as His own. He'll adopt you into the family of God. And you will be co-heir with Christ of all things. And so please come. Please come and experience the goodness of our God. Experience the goodness of the one who holds tomorrow. And the day after that. And the day after that on into eternity. Experience the goodness of the one who doesn't promise an easy life, but who promises a full life. Experience the goodness of the one who will guide you through every step into eternity if you'll only trust your life to Him. Father, we love you, and Lord, we thank you for your word, and we know that it's true, and that you have spoken, and you have given us your message for us, that it's just as powerful as if you were to split open the roof of this building and stand here speaking to us in bodily form. But Lord, so many times we have forgotten your word and neglected your word and lived as those who don't know what you've said. And so Lord, I pray that that would change tonight. Lord, give us a hunger for you. Give us a hunger for your word, a thirst for your righteousness, Lord, that we would seek after you with all that we have, because you've already sought us. Lord, I pray that if any in this room don't have a relationship with Jesus, that tonight would be the night that they would receive you and that their lives would be transformed. And so, Lord, we open this altar to you, and we pray that whatever you want to do, Lord, that you would do it for your glory. That we would see Jesus. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen. Come.